people who profit from it are at the heart of Bertolt Brecht's Mother Courage and Her Children. The New York Public Theater staging of the play, starring Meryl Streep at the Delacorte Theater in Central Park, is a jumping-off point for John Walter's new documentary film, Theater of War. And joining me now to discuss the issues the film addresses are Mr. Walter and Tony Kushner, who translated and adapted the Brecht play for the 2006 staging. Also with us by phone is Oscar Eustace, the artistic director of the Public Theater and the producer of that version of Mother Courage. The film opens a two-week engagement at Film Forum on West Houston Street tomorrow. I'm very pleased that it has brought John Walter, Tony Kushner, and Oscar Eustace to this show today. Hi.
Hello.
John, what was it about this production of Mother Courage that inspired you to create a documentary film around it?
Well, it started with an interest in Bertolt Brecht, and I was trying to imagine how I would approach Brecht as a subject, and I had the idea to pick a single play and follow the actors learning the play so that the audience for the movie could learn the play along with the actors. And
then the film took on a life of its own and became a lot more?
Well, I had this idea a few years ago, so I was sort of keeping my eyes open for an interesting production. And then when I heard that Meryl Streep was going to be doing Mother Courage and Tony was doing a new translation, it seemed like perfect casting.
But this film is more than a backstage look at a play. You've interwoven footage of protest against the Iraq War, information from Brecht's life, talk about Marxism with interviews with the people responsible for the production, a little bit of everything. How does this fit in with your previous documentary, How to Draw a Bunny, which is about the life and art of Ray Johnson?
Well, Ray was a collage artist. And in approaching Ray as a subject, I was thinking a lot about how movie could imitate a collage form. And it was actually reading Brecht that helped me understand the way to do that.
Tony, you say that during the film that you became interested in Brecht while you were a student at Columbia. Was Mother Courage the first Brecht play that you saw or read?
It was the first play that I read. I think the first one that I saw was Richard Foreman's production of Threepenny Opera at the Public at Lincoln Center when Joe Papp was running the theaters at Lincoln Center. Courage was the first play that I read.
And you said since then you've read every play, story, and poem he ever wrote.
I think that's true.
Brecht more than any other playwright?
I don't know. I mean, I've certainly read everything that Shakespeare wrote, and I think mostly everything that Chekhov wrote and Beckett. But Brecht was my first great love as a playwright.
Does Mother Courage solve the problem of making art about a political issue without resorting to didacticism?
I don't know that that's a problem. I mean, I think that political issues in theater don't necessarily lead to didacticism. I think there are a number of really great plays that are obviously political, I mean, that speak about the world in a political way that are not in any way didactic. I mean, I think that...
But there are preachy plays, and that has to be a concern.
Sure. I mean, I don't think that they're preachy maybe so much as obvious. I think if it's not very good, it'll feel like you're being sort of lectured over and over again about the same, you know, don't buy blood diamonds, don't, you know, be nice to gay people. I mean, there's some sort of point that's being made, and you get it before you sat in the seat, and then you're sort of hectored for an hour and a half, and that's unbearable. But all of Brecht's plays have immense depth, and that's what I think is so extraordinary about John's film is that it does exactly what you were saying you wanted it to do. I mean, it invites the audience into the complexities of Brecht's play, of his dramaturgy, and it does it in a really exciting and interesting way.
So, Oscar, were you immediately receptive to the idea of having a film crew at play rehearsals, or did that take a little convincing?
Well, I was immediately receptive to it, partly because Meryl brought up the idea, and when Meryl brings up an idea, you're receptive to it no matter who you are. And then the second thing was when I saw How to Draw a Bunny, I knew that this was asking an artist into the room. It wasn't asking an intrusive journalistic force. It was asking somebody in the person of John, who was an artist in his own right, and who I think... has proven in the film that he is able to not only, you know, make a terrifically complicated film, but show a tremendous sensitivity to the exigencies of actually putting on a stage production. So it was not a hard sell.
On the other hand, I heard that Meryl Streep was initially reluctant to have a film made of the early stages of development. She'd never done it before, and she told you, John, didn't she, that she didn't like audiences to see the process an actor goes through, that because process is clunky, process looks like bad acting.
Well, I think that's because of the if you watched Meryl rehearsing for a part in a movie or a stage play, and you didn't know that you were watching a rehearsal, the rehearsal was sort of the point. So I think it was the fact that it was in this context that the rehearsal was the performance as far as the movie was concerned. When I told her,
so does this count as one of Meryl Streep's film roles? When we go to her filmography?
I don't know. History will decide.
Well, I think it absolutely does. I mean, it's invaluable for a number of reasons, but I think it captures an astonishing performance by Streep. And also when she's being interviewed, you know, I mean, whether she's acting or not is a question, but her interviews are, I mean, the story that she tells at the beginning of the film I'd never heard it before. It was breathtaking. I was stunned by it. It's sort of everything that you want to say about Mother Courage in this one little anecdote. I mean, that's what Meryl is like.
Actors do think about their roles. They think a lot about them, Oscar, don't they?
They certainly do, and Meryl, what I think is so unique about the view of Meryl in this film is you get a certain peek into her rehearsal process, although again the rehearsal process remains mysterious, so it's not the focus of every moment of the film. The thing that is extraordinary is listening to her talk and think about why she was attracted to Mother Courage, what she thinks about the role, what she thinks the play is about. You realize that you're in the presence not just of a great actress, but of a great artistic mind. And having that insight into her thought process is breathtaking, revelatory.
Had you ever done anything like this before with a production of a play staged at the Public Theater?
No.
My guests are Oscar Eustace of the Public Theater, John Walter, filmmaker responsible for his latest called Theater of War, and Tony Kushner, who wrote the adaptation and translation of Mother Courage that was performed at the Delacorte a couple of years ago. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Oscar, where did the idea of staging an updated translation of Mother Courage come from?
Well, Tony and I have been talking about Mother Courage for, Tony, how long? 20 years?
Yeah, since we met.
Yeah, it's we actually, at the very beginning of our relationship in the 1980s, there was a production with University of New Hampshire, was it, Tom?
Right, yeah, I directed like 80 undergraduate students at the University of New Hampshire.
With somebody else's translation.
I think it was probably Eric Bentley's translation, or it might have been Ralph Manheim's translation.
Well, those are both great translators.
Yeah.
Why did you need to redo this?
Not to update it. It's left in the same time period and
the 30 Years' War.
Yeah, and there was a degree of suspicion that I might have interpolated certain things because it sounds so relevant, but I actually really didn't. I mean, it's a fairly faithful rendition. Brecht wrote the play in a kind of ersatz medieval German. It's sort of using the Bavarian dialect and Bavarian syntax to replicate a slightly sort of older form of peasant German. And there's no analogous form in America. Ralph Manheim was an incredibly great translator, and John Willett, who also did a version. They're both British, and they use a kind of a Midlands Yorkshire dialect, so it's fantastic translations, but they're not particularly usable, serviceable for American actors, unless you want to make it sound like the play's taking place in Yorkshire. And Bentley's translation is gorgeous. I love all of his translations, but I felt that it was time to do a new one. I think that it's exciting, like when Wally Shawn did Threepenny Opera. I think it's exciting when playwrights tackle these things. I really wanted to work with the lyrics also. I was very excited to translate those. So.
And mores change. You can add curse words that you couldn't have had in earlier versions.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a discussion right now because the play, I hope, will be published soon with the Brecht Estate about whether or not I've made it a little too street. But you know, there's a roughness and an anger and an energy in the German, whether it uses four-letter words or not. To a modern American audience's ears, the absence of those words makes the whole thing seem a little tame and academic, and I felt that roughening it up was important.
Now, John, you obviously saw parallels between Brecht's story of how families are destroyed by wars being fought for reasons that they don't even understand and the current situation in Iraq. So was that something that came to you while you were working on this?
Well, I think that was the premise of the production in the first place. I don't think...
Oscar, was that a reason that you had decided to do this in 2006?
Well, it's not just the war in Iraq, Leonard, but I think even more specifically the question of mother courage, which is what keeps it from becoming overly didactic because it's a question, is why do people choose that which destroys them? Why do people choose that which goes against their own self-interest? Mother Courage's entire intention is to save her family, and in pursuing that intention, she ends up destroying it. And it was written, of course, by a man who had watched his country vote Hitler into office. Now, and it's a slight exaggeration, but not much. Hitler was clearly popular, and it seemed that this was a moment in our politics, in the second Bush presidency, when we could clearly ask the same question, why were we choosing that which seems clearly against our own self-interest?
And didn't Meryl Streep agree to play Mother Courage because she'd been looking for a way to express how she felt about U.S. involvement in Iraq?
Partly that. I mean, she also, I asked her to do it the first day of rehearsals for Angels in America. I've never met her before, and I just wanted to, I felt for years that she was the person who had to play this part. So the first thing I said to her was, you've got to do Mother Courage. And I think she wanted to do it because of political conviction and also because she is a great stage actress, and this is one of the great, if not the great, female lead roles. So.
Well, when you were filming Angels in America, that was way before any of this happened.
Yeah.
So you were already thinking about it?
Yeah, and she immediately said that she was interested, and we've sort of had kept in touch about it for years. I felt that it was something that... These parts are written. Brecht wrote all the lead roles for stars. He wanted... famous actors to do these parts. There was the history that an audience has with a star is sort of written into the roles. And
because he wants you to get outside.
And there's a charisma and a kind of a force that comes on stage when a famous actor embodies a part. And I think that's, you know, it's in the tradition of European dramaturgy. I mean, Hamlet is, I think it's also true, so...
And Brecht's wife was the first Mother Courage.
Helena Weigel, yeah.
Well, she was actually the second. Teresa Giza was the first Mother Courage in Zurich because it was during the war, and there was no way for her. At that point, Weigel was in America.
Right. It was written for Weigel.
And when you're making a documentary film, you shoot a lot more than you actually wind up putting in the film.
Right, yeah.
Are there embarrassing moments that are on the cutting floor?
No. It's more I'm trying to save myself from embarrassment in the editing process. It's you're making a documentary because I'm my own editor, so I spend a year kind of digging myself into a hole, and then I spend another year kind of clawing my way out again in the editing room.
Digging yourself into a hole because there's so much you want to include, and then you have to figure out.
There's so much that seems relevant.
To keep it shape.
Yeah. That you know, it's fun. I saw. A film made about Jane Fonda in 1962 and her Broadway debut. And I went to a screening of this movie, and it was a great little theater documentary. And then afterwards, the director came out and he said, did you notice that scene in the dressing room? And there was a newspaper there. Did anyone notice what was on the headline? And nobody had noticed because he wasn't trying to draw our attention to it. And the headline was the Cuban Missile Crisis. And the Cuban Missile Crisis was going on during this entire production, and the documentary filmmakers had omitted that. And I felt like...
That's an important bit of information.
Right. So with this documentary, I wanted to show what was going on behind the stage, on stage, and outside the theater. Those three realities, because that is the reality of the moment.
But it's my sense that you start off thinking, I'm going to just do this backstage thing, and then other things started occurring to you.
There are always parallel storylines. There's the story of the production being staged. There's the story of the play itself, Mother Courage and the 30 Years' War.
And then Bertolt Brecht, who had a fascinating life.
Yes, and then there's Brecht's story. And there are points of contact between all three of them, and I like to construct films on a kind of montage principle. So I'm putting them all on the table for the audience, and it's often like asking a question, what does this have to do with this?
But it seems to me another theme, and I brought this up earlier, is politics in art. And that's something that has troubled people about Bertolt Brecht over the years, although I think probably Mother Courage was his most successful integration of the two.
Well, again, I don't know that I would agree. I mean, I think...
Well, it's okay if you disagree, Tony. Yeah, I'm sure you've thought about it a lot more than I have also.
I mean, my feeling is that what you have in Brecht in the plays and in the poems is a spectacularly successful integration of politics and art. And I've probably said this on this show before, but I mean, when you look at the people who write most brilliantly and trenchantly about how inimical politics is to art, they're frequently political writers like Proust. I mean, I don't really believe that this distinction between the political and the aesthetic exists. I think that the aesthetic is political, and the political has an aesthetic. So I think that I don't find the distinction necessarily.
Well, Oscar, when you are deciding on what plays to mount at the public, is that a concern sometimes, that audiences might be turned off if something is too political?
No, because I think it's really the charge of the public to do work that speaks to the times, and that means that it's inherent in our mission that we are a political theater. And clearly we define politics in a very broad sense because we're also the New York Shakespeare Festival, and Shakespeare is part of our mandate, and it's hard to enlist Shakespeare into any particular cause when you're thinking about politics. But I completely agree, of course, with what Tony said, that the aesthetic is ideological. There's no way to separate what aesthetic concerns are from political concerns. And usually when you have people complaining about theater being political, what they're really complaining about is that it's not their politics, and they're actually combating the politics. Or conversely, they're complaining about it being bad theater, which there's unfortunately no law that can protect us from. But good theater is, and the best theater always raises political issues, because I think political issues are of the essence of what it is to be human. We are political animals, as Aristotle, our founding theoretician, said. And we can't really understand human behavior separate from the broader social context that it takes place in. So I don't find audiences resistant to that if you do it well.
My guests are Oscar Eustace, the artistic director of the Public Theater, Tony Kushner, the great playwright, and John Walter, whose new documentary Theater of War opens tomorrow for a two-week engagement at the Film Forum on West Houston Street. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. Back with John Walter, whose new documentary film Theater of War opens for a two-week engagement at the Film Forum on West Houston Street tomorrow. Also here, Tony Kushner, who translated and adapted Mother Courage and Her Children. The staging of that play in 2006 is the subject of the film. Also with us is Oscar Eustace, the artistic director of the Public Theater and the producer of that production of Mother Courage. John, how difficult was it to track down Brecht's colleagues and his daughter, because you also talked to them in the film?
It wasn't so difficult. You just use the Google.
It's easier now, I assume, now that the Berlin Wall has come down. Were they living in what had been East Germany?
Yeah. One of the great experiences for me of making this film was going to Berlin. My wife and I went to Berlin. We got an apartment there for a month, and I set up an editing room, and I was sort of editing during the day, and then at noon I would go into the Brecht Archive, which is a museum and archive set up in Brecht's old apartment. And so it's been preserved as he left it, including the newspaper that he read the night before he died, sitting on the bedside table. But I was browsing through the books, and I saw, you know, his collection of Bruegel paintings with the typewritten notes in the back. And
he had a collection of Bruegel paintings? That's not bad.
Yeah, and they were large volumes, and he, you know, schlepped.
Not the actual.
No.
Wow, he really did well under the communist system.
No, it was a book of reproductions that he carried with him through his exile years. He had a lot of English language books.
Novels.
Yeah, like shelves of cheap detective novels. And I found his pocket Bible, in which he had pasted a picture of the Buddha on the front page and a picture of a fast car on the back page. And when I said that to Barbara Brecht, she said, "That's Papa." Like a little.
But East Germany is one of those fascinating cities because you really do see a divide between the east part and the west part. And for me, anyway, the eastern part was so much more interesting than the western part.
Yeah, much less gussied up. And when the wall existed, you could go to the east and sort of see so much more visceral evidence of what had happened during the war. It was much less sort of cosmeticized. So,
you've also included some wonderful interviews with Carl Weber. Is it Weber?
Yes.
Now a theater professor at Stanford University. He worked with Brecht in Germany.
And I got turned on to him because I read an interview that he did with Tony, and he and Tony have a history.
Carl was my directing teacher at NYU.
Was he one of the reasons you became so interested in Brecht?
No, he worked with Brecht. The reason I went to NYU was because Carl was there. I read an interview with him and Ronnie Davis, one of the founders of the San Francisco Mime Troupe. I saw that Carl had worked with Brecht, so I went to NYU because I wanted to study with him because he had worked with Brecht.
Where was Brecht living when he wrote Mother Courage?
It was started in Denmark.
It was in Denmark, which is actually
in 1939, right?
When he was in exile from Nazi Germany.
Yeah, he left Germany in 1933, and he was supposedly second on the SS hit list, second or third, because he was very famous, and famous as a communist, and he fled. He went to 16 different cities. He literally circumnavigated the globe during his exile.
But it's interesting that the play is not an anti-Nazi play. You would have thought that it would have been more specifically opposed to Hitler.
My feeling has always been that it is his anti-Nazi play, that the Arturo Uy, which is the obvious anti-Nazi play, which is a good play but not a great one, is the one that people think of as anti-Nazi. But I think that Mother Courage identifies the origins of German fascism and the threat of fascism in general, that when there are people who literally have one tiny piece of property to hang on to, and it's all that separates them from starvation and absolute destruction, financial destruction, it's Trotsky's insight. They'll do anything to hang on to that piece of property, including, as Oscar said, you know, vote for Hitler. So I think that Courage is really, in a sense, among many, many things, a play about that.
Oscar, I imagine that you were particularly interested in Brecht's model book, which contains a series of still pictures from the original production of Mother Courage. Many were reproduced in the film. Did George Wolff consult the book as he was determining where the actors would stand and what the props would look like?
Well, I certainly know that George knew the book existed, and I know he looked at it, but I don't think he felt himself in any way bound by what the model book did. He's an extremely brilliant director in his own right, and I think once he had dived into the play thoroughly enough, he felt that he was free to envision the dramaturgy of it himself, which he did.
Well, how many playwrights create model books? Is this a common practice?
No, it's very rare. I think it was part of Brecht's whole project to try to make the theater a kind of more transparent and reproducible art form. He was influenced, I think, by his friend Walter Benjamin in his essay, The Work of Art in the Age of Mechanical Reproduction, of trying to in some way embrace the idea that actually reproducing productions was not something that took away what was artistic about them, but in a way could liberate the individual artist to nonetheless take this common property and make something specific out of it. So it was part of a larger project of Brecht's that I think was very unique to him.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, in John's film, he very beautifully replicates that gesture of transparency, Brecht's sort of anti-illusionistic illusion making, because in the film there are these wonderful interviews with the people building the wagon and the people that you don't usually see in a theater documentary. And
well, the model book was important for me because I was always looking for ways to connect with Brecht and his sort of mania for documentation and his documentary sensibility. I mean, even his Fear and Misery of the Third Reich was described as a documentary play,
right.
And I like to think of documentary films as a process of setting documents into motion to tell a story.
Yeah. So montage and juxtaposition are huge parts of Brecht's assembly technique. I mean,
but this also sounds like the sort of thing that a choreographer might do in recording the steps of a ballet that has been just created.
Yeah, although I don't think, I mean, Brecht immediately when he was alive gave production rights to Three Penny Opera, to Mother Courage, to all the great plays, to people in the West, partly because he wanted the money, but partly because he was interested in other directors taking this on. I don't think the model book was ever intended to be sort of like a rule book, you must do Courage this way. I don't think it was.
Well, theater is always about translation. In fact, didn't Meryl Streep say that in a way she is translating Brecht's words for today's audience?
Yeah.
She sets herself up between the text and the audience, and she is the medium.
And asked several times for, I mean, she's amazing to work with because she has an incredible ear. I suspect she's a great writer. I don't know what, I've never read anything that Meryl's written, but she has an astonishing ear for language, and when lines weren't working, when jokes weren't landing, when she wanted a lyric to go in a slightly different direction, she would ask if we would change it, and almost always we did or we discussed it, and it was frequently a huge improvement.
My guests are Tony Kushner, Oscar Eustace, and John Walter. We're talking about Bertolt Brecht's Mother Courage and Her Children, the production that was staged in 2006 with Meryl Streep at the Delacorte Theater in Central Park. It is the jumping off point for a new documentary by Mr. Walter called Theater of War, which opens for a 2-week run tomorrow at the Film Forum on West Houston Street. It's interesting that Mother Courage has been staged more frequently in Europe than in the United States over the past 60 years. Do you have any idea of why it would be more popular there? Is it because people in Europe might be more open to its message or feel more connected because the war that it's about actually took place in Europe?
Not just the war that it's about. I think that on the continent there's a history of war physically ravaging the cities that people live in, that actually the impact of the wars of the 20th century in particular were writ in bombs and blood on the continent of Europe, that in a way in the United States we have over the 20th century had our violence take place overseas. So I think the immediacy of the destruction that Mother Courage chronicles is something that's much more within the visceral memory of Europeans.
Well, you've said that Mother Courage examines whatever it is that ties us to the behavior that will eventually destroy us. Mm. And that's something that European audiences have to feel is a really important message, something that they've been witness to both in their own histories and in watching other countries' histories. No countries specifically mentioned right now. Tony, another strong theme in this work is the addictive power of money. Mother Courage loses her three children to this war as she earns a living selling liquor and goods to soldiers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a play that, as is true, I think, of his second greatest play, Good Person of Szechuan. There are plays that are irreducibly about money and economics. And the fearlessness with which those are forces are really, I think, instructive and impressive for modern-day playwrights to look at. I mean, I think like Death of a Salesman, these are plays that can't be thought of if you're not willing to think about what they're doing in terms of economics and what money, the role that money plays.
This is something that our listeners are thinking about as well. I asked on my Facebook page whether theater can deal with real-world issues, and Bobby replied, theater can make a difference by lowering ticket prices so we working-class types can afford to have our mental horizons broadened and our intellect challenged. Now, of course, Mother Courage was
free.
was performed free in Central Park, but theater, that is a problem, isn't it? Because it immediately separates the high prices on Broadway, immediately separate people.
Yeah, I mean, we should have a national endowment for the arts that subsidizes theater. I mean, theater should be cheap and heavily state subsidized so that it can be done and doesn't need to earn its keep in the marketplace, which is difficult for everything right now, but has always been impossible for serious theater to do.
And European countries, most of them subsidize theater and arts in general.
And now, lamentably, are starting to follow the example of the United States and cut back on their arts budgets. But there's always been an understanding that culture is a necessity of life, and that it should be, in a democratic society, should be available to the people and not just to people who can pay $110 for a seat.
Oscar, have you ever been tempted to charge for the Shakespeare in the Park performances?
Oh, sure, and there are always ways that donors can get into the park that allow them to subsidize other seats, but we are religious about maintaining that 75% of those seats go to the line, as we say, that are free, because it's core to the mission of the public theater. We've been doing it for 54 years in the park, and anybody who thinks that price isn't a barrier just needs to come and look at the composition of the audience that we get in the park, because it's completely different from that of any Broadway theater. It's dramatically younger, it's more diverse, it's an audience that is hungry to see theater that can't afford it at the ticket prices that we normally have to charge. I think we should remember that we're in the home of the New York Public Library down on Astor Place, and there was a time when the idea of free lending libraries was a radical idea, and that radical idea took over the culture, and I think we really have to continue to fight for this idea that culture belongs to the people as part of their birthright. It's not something that they should have to purchase as a luxury.
And a fair number of actors obviously agree, because Meryl Streep, Kevin Kline, have not mentioned that Kevin Kline was also in that production, one of our biggest stars, and I'm sure that they were not getting the kind of money they get when they appear in movies.
No, they like everybody, every other actor in the park, they are subsidizing the entire enterprise by accepting the salaries that they accept.
Well, Oscar, one of the funniest parts of the movie is watching you smoke a cigar while you're riding your bike around Manhattan.
Which, I agree that it's funny, and I don't think it's necessarily admirable.
And were you at all tempted to take that out, John, or was that an
important part? No, that's the first image for the movie. When I went to meet with Oscar, he was late for the meeting, and they told me he had gotten a leak in his bicycle tire while biking across the Brooklyn Bridge, and they said he usually does that smoking a cigar. And I said, okay, well, that's going in the movie. That's money in the bank.
John Walters' Theater of War opens tomorrow at the Film Forum on West Houston Street. It'll be there for 2 weeks. My great thanks to him and to Tony Kushner, who did the translation and the adaptation of Mother Courage and Her Children, which was at Central Park, and also to Oscar Eustace, the director of the Public Theater. It's been a real pleasure.